This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Last night, about two dozen survivors of last year's marathon bombing arrived at the finish line on Boylston Street in a trolley. This was the final leg of the One Run for Boston, a cross-country relay race that started in Santa Monica, California, 1 month ago to raise money for the victims. They came to walk the final stretch down Boylston Street with the runners, among them Brittany Loring, who was seriously injured a year ago. She's able to walk on her own now, but still can't run. So her sister Alyssa and two of the people who helped her last year ran the last 6.5 miles for her.
All right.
As she waited for her sister to turn down Boylston Street, Brittany was overcome with emotion. Carlos Arredondo, the man in the cowboy hat who helped save Jeff Bowman, pulled Brittany into his arms until she regained her composure.
He was just saying, you know, your parents are here with you, your family's here with you, just look around, because I had told him I was very upset and a little bit nervous that I wasn't going to be able to walk over the finish line. So I told my fellow survivors there so that they would help push me along, and they did. So it was pretty amazing. I'm so glad I came here and, you know, pushed myself to do that, because honestly, when I first looked down that finish line, I felt like I was going to throw up. So I'm glad I pushed through it.
Last April 15th was Brittany Loring's 29th birthday. She was outside marathon sports, waiting for a friend to finish the race when the first bomb detonated. The blast shot shrapnel into her body, tearing into her leg, her hand, and fracturing her skull. Over the past year, she's made a remarkable recovery. She's learned how to walk again and how to stay calm in crowds. She also graduated from Boston College with a master's in business administration and a law degree. She got married and started a new job. We sat down with Brittany Loring to talk about what's been quite a year for her.
It's been a lot of ups and downs this year. I had a lot of events planned before I was injured at the marathon, so it was going to be a big year for me anyway.
Graduating from college, getting married. Starting a new job.
Taking the bar exam. I guess if you're starting the year at April 15th, I spent a lot of the first part of the year in recovery from my physical injuries, mild brain injury. I had a skull fracture, and I had BBs in my head and my neck. And then I had shrapnel injuries on my left leg, which...
And you're pointing from basically your knee to halfway down your thigh.
Yeah, so that was a piece of my leg was basically gone. So that has caused a lot of knee problems. And then I had a finger laceration.
Did you know what had happened?
I thought there was a bomb had gone off. I mean, it sounded like a pop and then a big boom, and I was thrown to the ground. And I just think I thought it had to be a bomb. I thought we were under attack, and my immediate reaction was to try to get out of there. So yeah. I was just like, I need to get up and run away. And as soon as I could, that's what I did.
And did you know how badly you were injured at that moment?
No, I had no idea. I didn't know I was injured. I mean, I thought when it was going on that I was going to die, because just the whole feeling of it. But, you know, once I realized I could stand up, I was like, all right, I'm going to be okay. And then I saw myself in the window front and saw... my hair was really big. There was tons of debris in it, and like it was singed, and there was blood all over my face. And I looked down, and I saw my finger first, because that was, that's the easiest thing to see.
Well, you were helped by four strangers. One of them applied a tourniquet to your leg to stop the bleeding. They got you to a paramedic. I understand you later met them. That must have been a powerful experience.
I feel very close to all of the people that helped me. The three men that I first came into contact with and first started to assist me, Mike, Charlie, and Jason, I've met them, and they attended my wedding. They were the first, and then it was Hafsa, who came over, and she had some EMT training, and her face was the one that I remembered the most, because she was up close to me and talking to me and trying to keep me awake. And then there was another individual, Alex, who was a BAA volunteer and was running me up and down the street in a wheelchair.
Wow.
And then I also met the EMTs, Ben and Adam.
You back now? I mean, are you back physically?
No. I'm close. I can do all normal, everyday things. But I am not running. And, you know, I still have some pain that persists in my legs. It's just an ongoing struggle. I think it's going to take, it's probably going to be something I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life.
And let me ask you, if I could, you said you had a brain injury. Are there lasting effects to the brain injury?
No. So I was very lucky, and I've fully recovered from that at this point. It did cause some setbacks, I guess, in my life because I wasn't able to take the bar exam on schedule because I could only focus for 3 minutes at a time back in May, and that's just not enough time to study for that exam. I did end up taking in February, and hopefully we'll pass it, but we'll see.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm wondering just how it is for you now to be in crowds, to go on buses, to think about going to a ball game or whatever it is, events like that.
Yeah, it's been a struggle for me. So I started off slowly. I went to concerts and I'd leave early, so I'd escape the, you know, the big crowd rush leaving. I threw out a first pitch at Fenway, which I just, as a Red Sox fan, when you're asked if you want to do that, it's
yeah, you
like,
can't say
yes,
no to that.
I
right,
mean,
yeah.
So I just had to deal with the rest of it, sure. You know, because I was like, I'm not going to pass this up. I don't care how nervous I am. Hmm. So it's just been a matter of exposure therapy. And I'm not saying I'm not still nervous about it. I am more nervous about, you know, about situations that remind me of the event. So being outside in a crowd, for instance, mm-hmm. where there's no, you know, there's no clear security anyway. So I'm going to continue to push through it. But
is there a day when you don't think about it?
No.
About what happened? No.
No.
It's every day.
Yeah, it's every day. Mm. It's less times per day now, maybe, but yeah. It's always there. I don't know, in the back of my mind.
Sure. So is that a goal, to get to a day when you're actually not thinking about it?
It's a goal of mine to get to a point where it's fully integrated in my life, I guess. I don't see it being something I'll stop thinking about because it was just so impactful in my life. I don't really see that happening. But yeah, I think for me it was just a matter of it not impacting my life adversely. You know, so if I can take the bus to work and not be stressed out,
yeah.
and then go home, not be stressed out, that's the accomplishment to me.
Despite the awfulness of this event, you know, I'm sitting in front of you on a Sunday morning. You look well. You look remarkably well recovered. And I don't want to assume anything about how you're feeling, but I'm just saying you look well. So I want to ask you, is there a part of you that feels fortunate in any way?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think about the individuals that were killed that day, you know, on a regular basis. And you know, at first there was a bit of survivor's guilt there. I did not know them.
Sure.
But just the fact that I was one of the ones that survived. Also that I was one of the ones who has recovered so well from my injuries. I mean, I was one of the ones that was admitted to the ICU, right, you know, straight from the bombing. So I know I was one of the most critically injured, but somehow I've made pretty much a full recovery. Yes, there are some things that I still have to deal with, but they're pretty minor on the scheme of things. So
how did this event change you, do you think, as a person? How you look at life, how you view life?
It's definitely changed me a lot. I think in the beginning I didn't want to admit that because I didn't want it to come from such a negative event. But for me, it's just about enjoying each day. I think I enjoy things more. I shouldn't be taking life for granted, and I feel like I know that innately now, whereas before, you know, I might have heard that quote and, you know that you're supposed to smell the roses, but I didn't actually listen to it. And so I try now. I think I'm also a little bit more empathetic than I was before, and just have more capacity for understanding for what other people have been through.
Hmm. Brittany, April 15th, you're turning 30. A lot of people who were there a year ago want to be back. They want to run. They want to see. They want to sort of mark the event at the place where it happened. You've decided not to be there.
Yes.
Where are you going? What are you doing?
I'm going to an island in the Caribbean, and I'm very excited about it. I've been back to Boylston Street, so it's not about avoiding that area per se. I'm not saying I'm not avoiding the event, because obviously I am. It's just about reclaiming that day for myself, I guess. And I did spend that day in the hospital last year. I had a pretty awful time, you know. So for me this year, I just don't want to be there, and I just decided to listen to myself about that.
Well, it sounds like that's a good decision. So let me just say happy birthday and good luck.
Thank you.
And thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, thanks.
Brittany Loring, one of the survivors of the Boston Marathon bombings, she'll celebrate her 30th birthday tomorrow in the Caribbean with her family. She set up a fund to benefit other survivors of the marathon bombings and other traumatic events. You can find more information about Brittany's fund on our website, radioboston.org.